You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, the global economy may have limped into 2025, but with trade wars reigniting, inflation stubbornly hanging on, and South Africa's own growth faltering at just 0.6%, uncertainty, I wager, has become the only constant. Add to that the postponed national budget, it's now being retabled on the 21st of May, as well as the tenuous government of national unity. Investors, I think, are left these days with more questions than actual clarity. So let's try and scythe our way through the weeds as far as that is all concerned. I'm in conversation with Mark Phillips, Head of Portfolio Management and Analytics at PPS Investments. Mark, so growth rate of 0.6% last year. South Africa, is it still a country worth betting on for long-term investors, or do you think the structural rot has set in?
Yeah, I mean, I think, thanks, Jeremy, for that question. Yeah, I mean, SA is not booming, but I think, you know, it is holding the line. You know, as you can sort of see, the Reserve Bank currently is also playing sort of a broader measured game. You know, as you mentioned, growth, you know, was just sort of 0.6 in 2024. And, you know, the OECD has revised SA's 2025 forecast up to 1.6, which, you know, is quite notable. And I think that's, you know, largely a function of, you know, broader strong commodity export performance and largely contained inflation environment. I think what you are seeing playing out is, you know, the SARB has moved in Jan, they've paused in March, which, you know, correctly is cautious. And as you've mentioned, I think, you know, there is quite a lot of sort of political noise around, you know, things happening around the budget, VAT, and, you know, needed structural reform and broader alignment around sort of the GNU that isn't exactly guaranteed right.
You're not the first person to note that trade fragmentation and tariffs are big global risks. As far as investors into South Africa are concerned, do you think they may be underestimating how bad Trump 2.0 could be for an emerging market like ours?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have seen sort of April's tariff shock, you know, as probably one of the most significant in a generation, or at least in my time. And I think, you know, the broader 90-day pause may only be a tactical breather. You know, one could argue that the sort of tariff shock is as big as what you sort of saw in the 1930s. And potentially it could reshape global trade flows and investor confidence. And, you know, South Africa, as it stands, you know, is quite a liquid emerging market. So if there's any negative sentiment towards, you know, EMs, broadly South Africa effectively feels that shock. I think with that said, there is quite a lot of opportunity in it. I mean, I think, you know, in the event that you sort of see the move away from the US and the dollar, and the search for yield effectively plays out, you know, we are well poised. But, you know, one big sort of the sort of political sort of, you know, structural reform risk that needs to happen. And if we do participate in that, that's, you know, a different question.
Where do you see the opportunity, Mark?
You know, I think, you know, as our bond deals stand, I mean, I think, you know, there is, it's quite healthy. You know, it's sort of inflation plus five, you know, easy. You know, the SARB and the IMF has sort of, you know, confirmed broader disinflation. And, you know, therefore, a broader higher real yield in a sort of portfolio context, you know, is good. It does come with risks. I mean, I think, you know, as it stands, if you look at our sort of asset allocation or tactical views, we are sort of, you know, underweight the asset class as such, just because of the fiscal risk and uncertainty that exists at the moment. But it's definitely going to help a portfolio, you know, over the long term because of the real yields.
Mark, maybe let's bring it down to the individual investor, if we can. Against the backdrop that you've just outlined, how do they need to be, one, approaching risk, but two, rethinking or recalibrating their mindset?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, if 2024 as such, you know, you've always sort of got to look back, not that it repeats, but it does sort of rhyme. And coming into this year, you know, we came off a sense of, you know, 2024 was about sort of recovery. You know, 2025 as such, I think, you know, there's sort of, not that it's binary, but I think there's a careful balance between Will China and the US not de-escalate? And I think, you know, that's bad, you know, how it plays out, versus sort of will Trump sort of cut taxes and sort of maybe step back a bit and in a way that could be sort of a good positive surprise. So, you know, the risk at sort of points of stress is to do something. But I think for us at the end of the day, we are focused on sort of almost staying disciplined. I think you've got to be cautious around what's happening, and effectively being exposed to enough managers with agility to almost navigate what's next. You know, the market is pricing in, suppose, a technical recession right now, nothing more at this stage. And you know, consensus is broadly that, you know, Trump has somewhat blinked. But, you know, he could blink again, and it's sort of understanding, you know, is there complacency that's sort of setting in, which is, you know, quite difficult to know.
That, of course, is the problem, isn't it? All roads lead back to Donald Trump, because it's difficult to price risk into an environment that can flip with one tariff announcement.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think you've got to be, you know, cautious. I think, you know, as we've almost tried to position ourselves, is be resilient, but also somewhat flexible in mind. You know, we've been deliberate around our tilts. We've still got quite a, you know, moderate risk on a tilt for SA equities. You know, we longer duration from a global bonds perspective, just understanding that, you know, there is this sort of flight to safety and you need that sort of barbell sense. I think, you know, going through Q1, I mean, that has showed us that, you know, markets are increasingly narrative driven. I mean, as you said now, in our, you know, the sort of, as we would now call it, maybe in time, the Liberation Day sort of announcement, you know, has somewhat put us on a direction of almost pivotal uncertainty that we just need to be comfortable with, I guess. And I think in this 90-day sort of pause, which sort of takes us to the 4th of July, is somewhat of a temporary relief. But I think it's sort of just being able to almost look at it in a sense of, you know, in grappling with a new reality of, you know, geopolitical fragmentation and, you know, broader unpredictable sort of, you know, policy that might impact the fiscal setting or even trade.
So where does PPS at the moment see the biggest risk for portfolio erosion? Would it be equities? You've already referenced bonds, or maybe even in cash?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of the rising tide leaves and where there's sort of a big crisis, I think there's not always everywhere to hide. But I think when we think about sort of our outlook and where we are positioning, I think, you know, it plays out in different ways. We do look at the valuation. We understand sort of the broader wave of change and sort of, you know, where the momentum is. We still favor SA equity. I think that's sort of a good valuation underpin. And as you saw in Q1, you know, as there is this broader safety into real assets, you know, our commodity, our gold producers also sort of, you know, helped keep the equity market alive and doing well. So I think, you know, there's opportunity in that. You know, the nominal bonds, as I said, you know, we are quite cautious, but I think from a real yield perspective, things are good there. You know, I think cash is always king. I think, you know, we do like cash locally and offshore more from an uncertainty perspective, but also as, you know, dry powder, assuming that you get further chances, you know, if markets do pull back. Global equity, you know, is quite rich in terms of the valuation. But I think, you know, we are looking at that, you know, carefully, more to be sort of neutral, because I think in sometimes, you know, a bull market effectively climbs a wall of worry. And I think, you know, I think there's days that if you miss out on them, I think, you know, it does impact the longer term performance of portfolios. So I think we're just trying to sort of balance that, Jeremy. And yeah, I think trying to understand, I guess, as we sort of move forward, you know, to what extent do you need to move away from the US into sort of like the euro or other broader emerging market currencies that might also help. But I mean, yeah, I think it's more of an understanding from that perspective.
Mark Phillips, thank you very much indeed for that broad overview. Head of Portfolio Management and Analytics at PPS Investments.